get ready.
Hello, I think.
Welcome to the Galactic Escape Pod.
Incoming!
Well, come on.
Nice of you guys to drop by.
The official podcast of Galactic-Voyage.com.
Everybody quiet. We've been waiting for you.
Everything is proceeding as I have foreseen.
Impressive. Most impressive.
Welcome, everybody, to the next episode of the Galactic Escape Pod. I'm your host, Gary Willis, and we're so glad that you've joined us again. There's a lot of news and information that's been going on the last couple of weeks, and it's hard to believe that last time we talked about San Diego Comic-Con and the upcoming Star Wars Celebration 2 in Europe and Germany, and those items are now complete. And so we'll be bringing you a lot of highlights from the Celebration Europe 2 in Germany. And there will be lots of interviews and ways to kind of feel like you were there a little bit through the podcast. So it wasn't the strongest celebration that I had hoped for. We had hoped to get some great news out of Celebration Europe 2, at least in my opinion, on Episode 7. We didn't get very much on Episode 7 at all. And I'd also hoped to get a little extra information about the Clone Wars bonus content, as we had talked about a couple of weeks ago, that we had anticipated that the Blu-ray and DVD set would be coming out in October, which will be the case, but they didn't say anything about the extra content that was left over from the Season 6 episodes. So a little disappointed in the overall content of what new information came out, but there was a lot of great interviews, and we want to bring you lots of those today, so let's go ahead and get right into the news.
You know what's going on? Maybe it's another drill.
What if he doesn't survive? He's worth a lot to me.
Alright, move along.
So as I mentioned, we've got lots of interviews that will be coming to you today through our podcast via the Celebration Europe 2 in Essen, Germany. And the first one that we're going to start off with a clip of was from the panel that had Anthony Daniels, who was C-3PO, and Ian McDiarmid, who is Emperor Palpatine. They had done a roundtable interview with some of the press prior to all the main stage activities that had taken place. And just wanted to bring you a quick little clip from Anthony Daniels as he happened to be talking about Alec Guinness and his role in the original Star Wars, A New Hope, back in 1977. About what he brought as an actor to the set. And it was kind of an interesting viewpoint from Anthony's point of view. So let's take a listen to what he had to say about Alec Guinness.
And who was the most something actor?
Best actor in the Star Wars movie
that
you worked with?
Joking apart.
I think it's difficult, but because it was the first film and because I was sort of in awe, it was Alec Guinness, which sounds like a really easy thing. But he brought to the set such a sense of calm professionalism in a complete... I'd never been in a film before. And one day he said to me, you know, it's not normally like this. And he was quite shocked at the kind of strange way it was being filmed. I didn't know any better, but I thought it was a bit chaotic. And there were a lot of tensions because the Americans had a different way of doing things from the English, and it was mainly an English crew. But Alec was so hugely supportive on the set, off the set, and kind of reassured me that everything would be all right. And so it was. And you could learn a huge amount about professionalism just by watching him. Watching him be on time. Watching him come out of makeup on time. Knowing his lines. Simple things like that, but he was deeply charming and kind.
Our next clip will be coming from the same roundtable with the folks that were from the press, again, prior to all the stage events in Essen, Germany. And this one had Peter Mayhew, who played Chewbacca in Star Wars, and also Jeremy Bullock, who played Boba Fett. And these folks were talking a little bit about their memories of the classic trilogy through their roundtable discussions. But one of the things that I thought were very interesting, and why we've now put this into our Episode 7 segment of the show, is that Peter was talking a little bit about how things were going for him physically. And of course, we know that he's had bad knees for a long time. And especially with the upcoming films, 7, 8, and 9, of course, the thought would be if we could get Han, Luke, and Leia back into the films, they would naturally have Chewbacca with them. But he was in a wheelchair for this particular interview, and he did have his cane, as usual, walking around on stage occasionally. But for this interview, he was sitting in a wheelchair, and he's going to talk a little bit about that and how he's trying to get his knees and have operation on his knees, and you'll hear him talk a little bit about that. The audio isn't necessarily the best to hear, and his voice is sometimes hard to take out, especially if it's not a real clear quality. But you'll notice that Jeremy Bullock steps in a little bit as if he was giving some information away, possibly about Episode 7 and his appearance being ready for that for Episode 7. And he's like, I just really mean that I'm getting prepared for convention. So take a listen to this clip and see what you think.
You're back on the floor.
Yeah. And the reason for a wheelchair is because I'm going to have, in the next month or 2 months, both knees replaced. Therefore, each 2 months, 3 months, the Wookiee will be back. So,
No,
it's nice to get heavy information like that.
But when you said you'll be back, that's exciting news, but for me...
Hopefully be back. I'll be back to conventions and stuff like this. So, anybody got any questions, I think?
Now, I don't know about you, but it certainly sounds to me like he's hinting that the reason he's having surgery is so that his knees will be prepared and healed in time for him to be able to play a part in Episode 7. And then, of course, if he continues on, he's old enough to be able to continue on as Wookiee, not necessarily as a person, but as a Wookiee, we know he's several hundred years old, so he's definitely has the opportunity to be around for Episode 7, 8, and 9. And who knows what will happen with the spinoff films. Of course, there's been talk of a Boba Fett film and talk of a Han Solo film, so naturally you would think that maybe he would be involved with something like that as well. So it sounds to me like he was making hints to the audience that he was going to be having surgery to be physically prepared for the roles of these upcoming films, but at the same time, looks like Jeremy was saying, you don't need to necessarily be saying that, and he kind of backed off a little bit and said, I just want to be ready for conventions. So I think we're probably going to see a Wookiee again back in the galaxy far, far away, and I'm looking forward to seeing that and hope all his surgeries go well, because I know it has to have been difficult for him to walk around with his knees the way that they have been. So best of luck to Peter Mayhew as he goes forward with his surgeries. So our big Episode 7 news and event at Star Wars Celebration 2 in Europe was the fact that Kathleen Kennedy was making her first debut as head of Lucasfilm at a convention. So we were definitely looking forward to seeing her and hearing some information from her, hopefully getting to some really good meat of the Episode 7 and what we could be expecting. She entered into the hall with huge applause, and our anticipations were very high about this Episode 7 news that hopefully we were going to be getting from this panel. So I want to give you a few quotes and some things that came out of this particular panel. It went on for about an hour. She was talking a little bit about shepherding Star Wars and how it's really a daunting proposition, and that she can't do this without every single one of us out there. And that means a great deal to her and to them at Lucasfilm. And she said that it means a great deal to you, us the fans. And that's something that she wants to be able to protect. She also said, quote, "We discuss the dedication of fans every single day when we discuss the story." And she's, again, referring to Episode 7. She also said, quote, "I love reading a script and thinking, oh my goodness, how are we going to film that?" The question came up also about balancing the special effects versus CGI, and Kathleen Kennedy was saying that we will use every tool in our toolbox. Also, some things that she mentioned She promises a lot of really cool locations and models for Episode 7. She says also, quote, "This is a huge responsibility, and we're all taking that really seriously." Later on, she said, quote, "George kept saying Episode 7 must be aspirational, fun, and have a sense of humor." She also said, "We know that if we don't have great stories and great characters, then effects mean nothing." Then they got into some of the audience questions later on, and one of the questions came through Twitter, and it said, "What have you learned about Star Wars fans?" And she said, quote, "They control everything. We're in service to you." Also, she said that almost every day that they're having lengthy story discussions with the writing team at Bad Robot. And Bad Robot is the company that J.J. Abrams has, that has done some of the television shows and other movies. So they're working closely with Bad Robot. She also said that having Lawrence Kasdan and his experience and knowledge in writing and in the meetings that they have been fantastic. But the really only big news that she provided for us for Episode 7 was that she had confirmed that John Williams has committed to doing Episode 7, 8, and 9. Now, we had gotten some information, if you'll remember back a couple of podcasts ago, we had gotten some information, actually in an interview from Williams. He was very encouraging about wanting to be involved in the movies and really wanting to be stepping up for that. We'd also had the clips of J.J. Abrams and how he had said Michael Giacchino would be involved with Episode 7 music, and he said that, you know, John Williams was kind of the one. He really alluded to the fact that he was going to be the one doing the music. So we had always anticipated that John Williams would be coming back for the film, so this was just an official confirmation from Kathleen Kennedy. So overall, the panel wasn't what I had really hoped for as far as Episode 7 news, but I was hoping for, by the end of Celebration, just like they did at end of Celebration 6, that we would have maybe a little bit more information about Episode 7, and that just didn't seem to happen. So what I'd like to do for you now is to play the interview that they had provided right after the announcement of John Williams being announced as the composer for the music for Episode 7, 8, 9, and he had done a little bit of a vignette or a little interview that I wanted to provide for you here. So let's take a listen.
I've loved doing the Star Wars films with all the fanfares and flourish and the galaxy far, far away. I actually feel like I'm still in it, that I've never really left it, you know. Having worked on all of the 6 films, I'm just happy to be continuing to be part of the whole fun of doing it. Of course, I haven't seen the script, but the story is still unknown to me, the new story. But I can't imagine that there will not be some references to the existing stories that we know that would necessitate and make appropriate the use of some of the earlier themes, which actually for me has been part of the fun of doing film after film, because in each case I've been able to use the earlier material and develop new material that would coexist with it and hopefully feel like a part of the fabric of the film. Since I don't know the story, I have to tell you and confess to you that I would always prefer not to read scripts and even not to hear stories and look at cue cards and so on, and wait for the moment of discovery with the audience of the film itself. So I'm as surprised as they are and I know where to put the surprise button, you know, having not been prepared by a script. And of course, during the first film, I think our colleagues working on the film had no idea that there was going to be a second film, let alone a third or fourth. So I'm waiting anxiously, like the audience around the world, to find out what the surprises are and discover what my continuing role is going to be. Well, I had dinner with Kathleen Kennedy and J.J. Abrams, and they are two people that I think are perfectly chosen to continue George Lucas's great odyssey. They're both young, they're both extremely gifted, have tremendous energy, and even in the case of J.J., who for me is very young, is also very experienced. He's had some great success with large-scale projects, which are very difficult logistically and mechanically to photographically, all of it. And even though he's a very young man, he brings with him a lot of expertise and a lot of a great background. So I think the combination of their youth and their experience and their energy and gifts, I couldn't, if I'd been asked, if I'd been asked by the various boards of directors, find me two people to take this project on to the next step, I would certainly have voted for them. We couldn't find better candidates for this opportunity.
So I'm definitely excited to have John Williams back for the music for 7, 8, and 9. And I wouldn't be surprised if he also provides the music for the spinoff films that will be coming out that will be in between the regular saga line. So we'll keep you up to date with any information that we get about that. Sometimes they have released some early clips of music, but that'll probably be a while before we get some of that information. Now, the next thing we'd like to bring to you is Warwick Davis, who played Wicket the Ewok, was the host of many of the stage interviews, and he also had lots of interviews after their stage show was taking place, and then he would come back and have a little discussion about kind of how that went, and maybe just a little bit more backstory from those major events. Now, most of these panels were fairly lengthy. Some of them were an hour each, and some of them were a little bit shorter, but at this point, I'd like to play for you the Kathleen Kennedy interview with Warwick, so let's take a listen to this particular interview behind the scenes with Kathleen Kennedy.
So here I am backstage at Celebration Europe with Kathleen Kennedy. We've just had an interview on stage. What does something like Celebration tell you about Star Wars now that you've experienced it?
It tells me the importance of the fans. The fans are everything to Star Wars, and I think, you know, this is a celebration, literally, where you get to see their craft, you get to see their compassion, you get to see how important this is to them, and you also get a sense of the generations that have followed Star Wars, because entire families are here, which is really great.
Yeah, it is a very generational thing, isn't it, yeah. Star Wars? Because, of course, you've got dads who grew up watching it, who want an excuse to continue to enjoy it, so then show their children
and so on and so forth.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, recently before this event, I actually watched all of the films again in order, and the whole family watched them. And my wife, actually, who hasn't been a huge Star Wars fan in the past, got quite involved with the story when you watch it as a complete set of six, and really did enjoy it very much.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It transcends generations and you know, is very far-reaching.
Right.
Yeah. Now, I know you can't say much about the work on Episode 7, but just how are things going?
It's going fantastically well. I mean, JJ, we meet almost every single day. We've got Larry Kasdan, who had worked on Empire and Jedi as a writer. We have Michael Arndt, writing, had previously been with Pixar, doing Toy Story, and won an Academy Award for Little Miss Sunshine. And we have Simon Kinberg. And I think the team that we've assembled, everybody gets along so amazingly well. It's been fantastic.
Mm. Now, tell us about the time that George asked you to take over. Were you expecting it, and did you say yes right away?
I wasn't expecting George to ask me anything like this. But I will say when he did bring it up, and he talked about his own retirement and looking for somebody to come in and really be responsible not only for the company, but taking this into the future and protecting his legacy. And when he started to talk about it in that way, I immediately said yes. I just thought it would be an incredible experience and an amazing opportunity.
Fantastic. And in the meetings that you've had, you know, about the development of the new films, has my name cropped up at all in the conversation?
Yeah, it's daily.
Daily?
Really?
In a good way.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, that's excellent. We'll leave it on that note. Thank you very much indeed, Kathleen Kennedy.
Okay,
thank you.
Now, another really big panel that folks were very excited about was the Star Wars Rebels panel with Dave Filoni. You'll remember Dave Filoni was the supervising director of Star Wars The Clone Wars. And so Star Wars Rebels is going to be the new TV show that will be coming out in 2014 that is the new animated TV show. And so everybody is looking forward to that because it's going to take place prior to A New Hope. And some of the things that Dave has talked about is that we're really going to be focusing on the art of Ralph McQuarrie and kind of really trying to bring that feel to the TV show. He also received a standing ovation from the crowd, and I wanted to just give you some quotes like we did for Kathleen Kennedy's panel that kind of give you an idea of some of the things that he had talked about. So his first quote was, "I'm here for you guys and everybody at Lucasfilm is." He also said they're trying to figure out the best way to bring out the remaining episodes of The Clone Wars, and that was the bonus content. But as I mentioned earlier, they didn't go into any details about what that would be. So we had a little video that also introduced Greg Wiseman, who's one of the executive producers on the show, and he said, "I'm just swamped on Rebels and very glad." Also, Simon Kinberg had a little video that came in as well, and he said, quote, "I am super, super excited to be working on the Rebel show and to be working on the movies as well." So, Simon Kinberg also said that writing the Star Wars scripts is one of the most exciting things he's ever done. So, Star Wars Rebels will be visually different from the Clone Wars, and as I mentioned before, it will have that heavy Ralph McQuarrie influence. Dave went on to say, quote, "We created a set of digital brushes that replicate Ralph's painting style." So I thought that was very interesting. He also went on to say, "We wanted to create a look for this part of Star Wars that precedes A New Hope by just a little bit." So they also started to provide some concept art and some drawings and some clips of, not video clips, but just drawings of what we might be seeing and the style that it might be in. So I thought that was really interesting, too. When they talk about things that were a little bit preceding, you'd see a TIE fighter or you would see a Star Destroyer or a Stormtrooper and how they were not only stylistically done, but also how they were going to be just a little bit different from what we might see in A New Hope, so that you kind of get the feel of it being ahead of those things. He also said that some of the inspiration for Rebels was taken from a movie called Tangled. He went on to say, quote, "We're working as fast as possible to animate the episodes, but they're not at a point yet for any test animation." So that's where we didn't really get any animation onto Celebration Europe 2. They didn't have anything really to bring us at that point. They're also working hard so the aesthetics match the original films. Along with some of these other images, he did provide some images of Astromech and Protocol Droid, some concept art there. When he did show that Star Destroyer that was kind of an earlier concept, he definitely got a lot of applause from the audience. He also said, quote, "When you realize it's going to be up on screen again, you go, oh my gosh, I haven't seen that in a long time." And that meaning that Star Destroyer, because we have been in the prequel era for quite a while. Even with the Clone Wars, we've been in a prequel era. So it's very interesting to see the Star Destroyers make a return, especially on something like television. So folks were very excited about that. Adding in A New Hope details that were lost in The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. So it's going to be interesting. Not really sure what he meant by that, but I'm sure he will explain what he means as we get closer and he has more concept art and clips to be able to show us some of the how he's going to tie those things together. One of the big things that he did provide for us was the concept art of a new ship. It's from the Rebel side called the Ghost. So it kind of has a Corellian ship feel, if you will. It's got a cockpit on the front. So quickly on the internet, folks were saying that they felt like it was just a Millennium Falcon rehash, but it's not that way at all. We know that there are lots of different Corellian-type ships out there, and I kind of get the feeling that being one of the big ship fans, and you'll know from the Galactic Voyage website that do a lot of ships and really are interested in those particular things, and the Ghost is definitely its own ship, but it just feels like it falls in line with some of those other ships of those types of classes. So it'll be interesting to see more about that. Dave Filoni also unveiled the official Star Wars Rebels logo, and he was throwing some T-shirts out in the audience for folks to have that, and of course, from what we had heard is that the line was very long to go to the store to be able to buy their own Star Wars Rebels shirt. So one of the things he also talked about was, quote, "When I make something that you like, I make it as long as I can." They're planning on telling a linear story and not telling stories out of order like they did on The Clone Wars, so that's very encouraging. We know the first couple of seasons of The Clone Wars were kind of hard to follow because you'd have a few episodes and then you'd have to go back an episode that would kind of tie in with those things, so we are definitely looking forward to linear storytelling, and they did do that as we moved through the latter seasons of The Clone Wars, so that will definitely make the story a lot more interesting. He says also, quote, "We have new characters, and we'll probably have some characters that you don't know." Dave Filoni also hinted at the potential for Clone Wars characters being included in Rebels. And he says, "I love all Star Wars characters, especially the ones I created." So we know that perhaps there's a good option that maybe we'll see Ahsoka, because he really fell in love with that character, and so did the fans, so it would be interesting to see what happens with that. I think it was a really great panel with the official logo being released and lots of art being displayed, and I think the show is truly going to be great, so we're looking forward to hearing more about that. Now I'd like to go ahead and transition into another behind-the-scenes interview with Warwick, and this one is going to be as he sat down after this panel with Dave Filoni, and he talked a little bit about what we saw on stage.
I'm backstage at Celebration Europe with Mr. Dave Filoni. And it seems very appropriate, Dave, that we're surrounded by Ralph Macquarie-influenced stormtroopers from the 501st. Which is very appropriate because you've just talked about Rebels, which is a Ralph Macquarie-influenced series, isn't it? Are we going to see any of these guys in the series?
Not exactly these, not yet. But, you know, it's kind of on our to-do list and the bigger picture of the series. And I think all it really illustrates is how strongly fans around the world have connected to what Ralph did. I mean, these are designs that ultimately never ended up in the film. And yet, here they are alive and breathing and walking around, breathing for the most part, walking around today. And you see this all over with Ralph's designs. They are as real a part of Star Wars, even the ones that never made it on screen, as anything that did exist on screen. So I feel lucky that we can take some of those and breathe life to them, new life in Rebels, and pass them on to a new generation of fans.
Now, I've been involved with, you know, two live-action Star Wars movies. Yeah. Unfortunately, didn't manage to get involved with doing a voice for the animated series. Is there any chance that perhaps we could work something out for Rebels?
I think so.
It's early days, I know. But
it's very high on my list. It was very high on my list for Clone Wars. And my whole thing is to find the right character for you. I wouldn't want to just bring you in to do a voice and it was a thing. You know, on my list, David Tennant was another one, and I found that droid for David to play. He wound up winning an Emmy for it.
Yeah, well, I wasn't high enough on the list then, obviously.
Well, there's some magic there. It wasn't quite right for you.
Ah.
It was, you're
trying to find the right character. I appreciate that.
I really
that.
Believe yeah. that, because I want to make it worth your time. You're a very busy man. And there's something that will be kinetic about it. And it's going to happen, I'm telling you. I'm totally serious. And I know you'll want to do it and you'll love it.
I love it. I've never provided a voice for an animated character.
Really?
Something I haven't done yet.
Oh, my gosh.
At all. So
that's surprising.
It's certainly something I would enjoy doing.
I think it's going to be great. And I could make you extremely tall.
You could. We could do anything.
We could do anything.
Animation. Yeah.
And see, that's what I mean. It's like, I think what I'm excited about is it would give you a chance to play something perhaps completely different for you.
It'd be liberating, wouldn't it, in that respect?
I think it's a pure acting in that regard.
Yeah.
The voice acting, you're just embodying the character in every way. And absolutely. So we'll see. Haven't forgot.
You heard it here first. Yeah. Dave, and finally, you revealed the new Rebels logo today, which was really exciting and well-received by the crowd.
I think so. I'm serious. A lot of thought goes into all these things. You know, we just don't throw a logo together and throw it up on the screen, but there was a huge collaboration across the company. Every little pixel of that font was prodded and posed, and I think it's brilliant. I think that it speaks to the era, and I think it speaks to the look of Ralph Macquarie too, which is something that was very important to me for the logo, that it kind of represent Ralph.
Absolutely.
In some way. So.
Well, we as fans certainly appreciate all the attention to detail and the thought that goes into it. Thank you very much, Dave Filoni.
So great
thank
to see you again. Thank you.
So another panel, and the very first panel that started off, was the International Star Wars Fandom with Gerald Holm. I wanted to just tell you a little bit about this particular panel. Gerald Holm is an actor who played in Return of the Jedi, and he was Squidhead and a Mon Calamari officer. And he was also joined on stage with a couple of folks from overseas, from Belgium and from Turkey. Tim Veikkoven from Belgium, and also we had Ates Seten from Turkey. And these folks run fan sites from fan clubs in those areas. And one of the big things about this particular panel that was of interest was the fact that they are talking about SWORA, which is the Star Wars Outer Rim Alliance. Now, SWORA came about in 2007, and Galactic Voyage became part of this group in 2008. So, SWORA is a really great opportunity for folks from across the world to be able to get together. So, it was really interesting to hear the fact that we were having SWORA and to hear about it again, but the fact that they were reintroducing SWORA and relaunching that was an exciting idea. The SWORA group had kind of died out during 2008, and everybody kind of went their separate ways, but they're looking to bring it back together, especially with the new films that are coming out. So the SWORA group was announced. Their new website is www.swora.info, and they also have a page on Facebook. You'll see them at facebook.com/theswora, and proud to announce that we were in contact with those folks right after they had the announcement for the relaunch of the Swore fan group. And as I mentioned before, Galactic Voyage was part of that group. And they've asked us to be back into the group. And for right now, we're the only representative from the United States. And I'm sure there will be others that will be coming. But since we were one of the original groups and members of that particular group, we're glad to be back in with Swore. And hoping to, in future podcasts, I've already been in contact with Gerald, trying to get him onto the show, and I'd also like to get Atez and Tim onto the show so that they can talk a little bit more about the panel and how things went. So Swore is back on the scene, and we'll bring you more of that as we have it. So another really great panel was when Warwick sat down with Doug Chang and Ian McKaig, and they were talking about the art of Star Wars, and they had some drawing that took place from folks that hadn't even drawn before. They were showing how to do some drawing and walking them through those things, and it was a really great panel. But afterwards, again, Warwick sat down with Doug and Ian, and he talked with these concept artists about the, you know, what they had talked about on the stage and in the panel, and just wanted to give you a few minutes with this interview with Doug and Ian.
So I've just gone off stage here at Celebration Europe from the show Designing a Galaxy with Doug Chang and Ian McKaig. It was a brilliant show, gentlemen.
Oh, thank you. You made it a pleasure.
We had a good time. Thank you. And you taught us how to draw as well. Doug drew a battle droid.
Yes.
And Ian, you taught us how to draw Darth Maul.
Quite interesting when the audience member came up to do that. And they really do range in skills. And he really didn't have any. So I thought, this is either going to work or completely
fail. No, and that was the brilliant thing. It totally worked. Both people who came up didn't have any drawing skills, and they drew. It was, like, wonderful to see.
Yeah. But, you know, even the failures are good sometimes, because that's where you start from. And then you just make it better after that. And very often you can take those ones and people go, oh, don't even want to show it. And you just put two or three lines on it, and it works.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Knowing that's good.
Well, it was inspiring to watch you. What does it feel like for you guys, after all these years, to now be embarking on a journey back to that galaxy far, far away in working on the new films? And did you ever imagine it would happen?
Yeah, no, for me, it's such a treat. It comes full circle, because, I mean, I've been thinking Star Wars ever since I saw it when I was 15. And then having the opportunity to actually work on it was great. And then the films that I've done, you know, since then, I've always imbued a little bit of Star Wars in me, I mean, into those films in terms of what I draw, because it's just naturally in me.
Yeah. Absolutely. What about you, Ian?
Oh, they're like family. You know, you get very, very fond of the characters you create, and for Padme, I was there the day she was born. I was there when she died, and I got to do her funeral costume. You know, it's like you really are there with your kids growing up.
And I think the biggest thing, though, I mean, besides the actual work itself, is just having, like, Ian and the whole team back. It is like family on that level, because we're all artists in the industry. We all kind of grew up together, and to grab the gang back is just fantastic. We have a blast every day.
And it's almost psychic.
Yeah. Really. And that comes through in the work that you produce, I'm sure.
Yeah.
We've done the psychic thing where I've been doing a drawing, and across the room, one of the other artists will go, hey, I've got this idea, and hold it up, and I'm going,
exactly.
And it is literally the same drawing.
Yep.
That's amazing. Yeah. Now, thinking back to the prequels, I wanted you to talk a little bit about the work that you did on those. Doug, in particular, the work you did on Naboo and the design of that. Mm-hmm. What were your inspirations for that?
For Naboo, that was the biggest challenge for me, because George wanted to create a whole new culture within the Star Wars universe. And at that time, I had, you know, ingrained in my mind, okay, what Star Wars should be. And it was what the world that Ralph and Joe created. And so to have George come in on the first day and say, no, put all that aside, let's just create something completely new, but still fits within the universe, it completely threw me, because I wasn't prepared for it. And I think that worked really wonderfully, because it took me out of my brain lock, because at first I had no idea what I was going to do. But then that allowed a fresh start, because then I could create a whole new world from scratch, knowing that George was going to guide it. And so I felt very comfortable with that, because his leadership was wonderful. I mean, he has such a fantastic vision in terms of, you know, visual style and instinct. And so I knew that it gave me a level of comfort, so I could explore other worlds, other design aesthetics, and know that it was still going to fit within that. And so it was very liberating for me. And then my big task was then to really come up, okay, well, what should this culture be? And I took a lesson from George, which was to go back in history, study history, look at the different human cultures, and then extrapolate from that to create the world of Naboo. And when I, you know, realized that, it was really a revelation for me, because it really gave a foundation to all the designs. And that's one of the key things that I realized in designing First George in the Star Wars universe is all the designs need a foundation, whether it's, you know, based on a certain human culture, a time, or whatever. You need something, because you can't just invent something out of thin air. If you do, the trap is that becomes out of date really quick,
because
you're just
made up.
Yeah, you're just fabricating stuff, and so don't do that. And George's real key, the lesson that I learned from him, was take reality, mix it up, change 10%, and you have something fantastic.
So you always take inspiration from reality.
Yes, absolutely. Research is so critical.
Do have to balance that up with George doesn't come in with a vision. He doesn't say Darth Maul. He's got seven horns. He's red. Try black tattoos. You know, he'll come up and say a name, Darth Maul, Sith Lord. Yeah. And then he'll walk away and you're going, human, alien? Yeah.
How do you get in the right mindset to draw something like Darth Maul? Do you not drink coffee? What do you do? How do you get in the mindset to draw such a villain?
The first thing you do is you calm down. You don't panic by not having information and realize that, I mean, I believe George cast his art department. Mm-hmm. He knows your work. Mm-hmm. And he cast you as being appropriate to that kind of character to draw for him. So he wants, really, make it up. Mm-hmm. And he wants what you make up. Because his real genius, I mean, and it is, I've never seen anything like this. He'll walk into a room with 100 drawings on the table. He'll go, that one, the head of this one, the body of that one. Mm-hmm. And it works. Mm-hmm. And you think one artist did it, and it just fits like puzzle pieces. It's like, how did he do that?
You know, and I've seen him do that so many times where it's like, you know, sometimes it's hard to figure out why the choices are and it doesn't quite make sense. But then in hindsight, you look at it and go, wow, okay, it makes complete sense why he was making those choices. And that's the one thing that I really got to appreciate from him is that he can see it and put it all together quickly. I mean, as an audience as well as a storyteller.
Mm. That's brilliant. Well, I'm sure we're all looking very much forward to seeing the work that you do on the new films. Mm-hmm. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you very much, Doug Jang and Ian McKay. Thank you.
So Ian McDermott has had another panel here at Celebration Europe 2. He was in Celebration 6 in Orlando, Florida, and we're glad to see that he had come back to join the fans. He very rarely makes an appearance, and he's definitely a crowd favorite. Ian played the Emperor. He's also played Darth Sidious and Senator Palpatine, as we have seen him in the films. And he talks with Warwick a little bit backstage as well about his part as the ultimate Sith Lord, and we get to hear him do his Sith laugh, and he doesn't do that very often, so it's really cool to get him to hear him kind of go into that mode. So again, another fan favorite panel, but we'd like to give you kind of the behind the scenes with Ian McDermott.
I'm backstage at Celebration Europe here in Essen, Germany, and I've just spent an evening with the Emperor, aka Mr. Ian McDermott. Mm. Welcome, Ian.
Hi, Warwick. Nice
Thank
to be here.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we've had a great show out there. The audience
they were great.
I mean, you've got a lot of fans here.
Yes, many people and very responsive, and we had a few laughs. And,
absolutely.
You quizzed me, and I got many questions wrong. But, I'm a very old Emperor.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. It's amazing, isn't it, how popular villains are? You know, they're always the characters that people seem to...
It's always been the case, hasn't it? And they're exciting to play. Have you played a few?
I played a few villains, and indeed you seem to get the most response from people.
Yeah.
And you've played a baddie in film.
Yes, people are really fascinated by the dark side. Mm. I suppose it's because they don't feel they have to go there if the rest of us are doing it for them.
No, absolutely. Now, we're celebrating the 30th anniversary of Return of the Jedi this year, a film that you featured in, obviously. Talk a little bit about the character and the creation of the character. Of course, that's the first time you played him.
Yes, it came out of the blue. I saw George one lunchtime, and when I got home, I heard that I got the part, but I didn't know what the part was, because it was very secretive in those days. And then my agent said he's called the Emperor of the Universe. So I was sitting down at the time, so that was okay. And then I went in, and they covered me in latex and prosthetics, and this monster appeared in the mirror. And when I saw him, I thought he had borne no relation to me, but looked fantastic. And I thought he looked like an old toad, and so he should maybe sound like one. And that's where the voice came from.
The voice came from the look.
Yeah, that's how it
was. And then, of course, the iconic laugh as well.
Yes, yes. All of that. I've just been doing it on stage, so I won't do it too much for you guys.
We'd love to hear a bit, I'm sure.
Would you?
All right. Yeah, just a little bit.
There are many variations.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
It's a sort of symphony, really.
Yeah, I mean, it is so iconic. When you hear it, you just can't help but think of the Emperor. Now, also in Return of the Jedi were Ewoks.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
Who do you think would win in a fight between Wicket and the Emperor? What do you think would go on
yes,
there?
Yes, well, I suppose I have to say that Wicket had particular skills, given the end result that we all know happened in the film. Mm. But I would have thought that, actually, they'd sit down and have a chat, you know. Probably the Emperor on a sofa, and maybe Wicket on a comfortable chair like this.
Trying to negotiate.
And he would try and negotiate a
settlement. Before you got
of some
the lightning
kind,
out.
Before I killed you.
Yeah, yeah. Indeed, because yeah. that is your force.
It is. Major, and in, as you know, somebody else got to use it in Attack of the Clones, and that was Christopher Lee. And I didn't know that till I went to see the film, and I was rather jealous of it.
Yeah, he's got lightning as well.
But that's right. Christopher said, oh, yes, no, I would always have it. So... And you always would.
And how do you feel being part of the Star Wars films? What does that mean to you?
Well, it was extraordinary then, as I say, on that first day when I met George. And it's still extraordinary. What's most extraordinary was that I was able to be in the prequels as well as the initial films because my age worked out. And as originally they cast somebody who was closer to the aging Palpatine than I was, that wouldn't have worked out. I would have had to be in a different actor. So I was lucky twice.
Indeed you were, and we're glad you were lucky to us, because you've played a brilliant, brilliant Emperor and Palpatine.
Well, I'm really glad too. It's been a very big thing in my life.
Absolute pleasure to talk to you. Thank you very much.
And you
are. Cheers.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Another crowd favorite is Anthony Daniels, who played C-3PO in all of the Star Wars movies. And, of course, we're figuring he will be back in the sequel films and possibly in the standalone. So he's got definitely plenty of opportunities to be in these films as we move forward. And he had a pretty long discussion on stage with Warwick, and folks got to enjoy that. And so again, we'd like to bring you kind of the backstage, behind the scenes, as he talks a little bit about Return of the Jedi and the future of Star Wars. So let's take a listen to Anthony Daniels backstage.
So here I am backstage just after the show, The Golden Hour, with my guest, Mr. Anthony Daniels.
It was a great title for the show. I couldn't believe it when I came on, The Golden Hour.
The Golden Hour. Yeah. And it was a golden hour, wasn't it?
It was. It seemed longer. I don't know. I thought, when's this end?
It was slightly longer, yeah, but you were going on.
I was a bit. You let me do that. That was kind of
you were interesting, and we were enjoying it, I felt the audience deserved to hear more.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you'd been interesting, it would have gone even longer.
Thank you very much. Now, Anthony, this year we celebrate the 30th anniversary of Return of the Jedi, which was the Star Wars film I think 3PO probably featured the most in, really.
And more importantly, it was the one you featured.
And I was in it as well. And indeed, that brings me to my question. Do you have any memories of working on that film, in particular, working with yours truly?
I remember how difficult it was for me in the forest, because the floor in a forest isn't exactly flat.
No.
So it was full of twigs and vines and all that kind of things and roots. But I do remember it was difficult for me, but it was very difficult for you guys as well, because like me, you couldn't see.
No.
And I remember particularly with you, because there was an issue with the costumes, wasn't there? That the faces of the Ewoks were meant to be animated.
They were
meant to be, yeah. And they ran out of time. So the animation that you provided so brilliantly was, Warwick, Warwick, Warwick. Can you stick your tongue out?
Yeah.
Can you think?
That's
that was
my
all
actual
you could
tongue.
Do. I know it is. I was there when you did it.
Yeah. That's a famous tongue right there.
When you see it instantly, you become
Wicked
an Ewok.
Ewok's tongue I have in my mouth.
No, I recognise him.
Which
can
sounds
I get
a bit wrong, doesn't it? So it was very difficult for you working in those environments, whereas 3PO is more at home on a spacecraft.
Definitely. Really anything with flat floors, I love it. Anything with stairs, a bit of a no-no. Generally, Ewoks are difficult to work with, are charming but difficult, because they can't see where they're going either. And it is a recipe for like a dodgem car event where everyone, boom. And the thing about Ewoks is they're heavily padded. So when they do fall over, they just sort of bounce and roll. And I think you bounced and rolled several times.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the thing about it, and I suppose you found this as well, rehearsing without the head on was the important thing. So you memorised everything where it was.
Yeah, and you did depend on the professionalism of the particular Ewok to kind of remember what they'd done, because if they didn't, then they got bumped into.
Ah, by you.
By me.
Of course.
And being bumped into by 3PO is a painful experience. Mm. But also, when, like me, when the Velcro opened up at the end of a scene, when the Ewoks were, as it were, how would you say?
I don't know what you're trying to say.
Well, the steam that came out.
So you mean not yet, I know what you mean, so when we were sort of undressed at the back.
Exactly, the Velcro would rip apart.
All the steam came out.
Yeah. Little pressure cookers, really, weren't you?
No, we suffered. But we all suffered, didn't we?
We all suffered for art. Absolutely. That's why art becomes so important and it has a magnetism, because inside there is a human. In every wok there's a human.
Yeah.
Obviously not the ones you buy in a store. I don't want people thinking they're going to get a free human with every wok.
Absolutely.
But generally, inside every 3PO there is a human, very nice human, and in some of the Ewoks the same.
What were your thoughts when you heard there were going to be more Star Wars movies? What did you think? I mean, it was something I thought was never going to happen.
Me too. I thought when George chose to just quieten his life down a bit, that would be it. It never occurred to me that there was a force bigger than George, and that was Disney. And in fact, I was on a boat, on a ship in the middle of Sydney Harbour in Australia, and there was one of those free newspapers, because I won't buy a newspaper, you know, those free day sheets are fine. And there it was, lying on a bench, somebody held it aside, obviously in surprise, horror, whatever. And the front cover was Mickey Mouse with a lightsaber. And it was about the fact that Disney had taken on the mantle, the chalice, all that kind of thing, the challenge. Mm. And I was really, really surprised and very pleased, because it shouldn't have died at that point. You know, Star Wars is too big to fade away, and it never will. You realize in your lifetime, even in your lifetime, certainly in mine, it's not going to go away.
No, absolutely. Yeah. It's a phenomenon, isn't it? It's now become part of popular culture.
Yes, and I will say that occasionally I meet people who are slightly snobby about it. When I was doing Star Wars in concert, I was doing a phoning interview with, and he said, I am the classical music correspondent for the such and such paper, and I won't tell you what it was, but it's a big one. And I have been stuck with this interview, so we better begin.
Ooh.
I so cleaned it. I explained in particular about the music, but also that films have become the patrons of the arts, whether it is music. And music has always been sponsored by the church, the crown, the whatever. Artists need to be paid. Somebody has to pay them. But also, Star Wars, look at the artists that create the most beautiful things, physically or digitally. Without the films, our worlds would be much poorer. Mm. And anybody who doesn't realize how important the phrase popular culture, like the word fan, is likely to diminish something. But actually, popular culture is hugely important. And Star Wars goes beyond. It is now part of our culture around the world. And that's the really amazing thing. And what surprises me here at Celebration is how many Russian guests that we have. And Russia's never really been open to Star Wars or many Western films, indeed. I'm really excited about that. They are too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's very exciting to hear there is a future to Star Wars, but it's lovely to be here to celebrate Star Wars that we already have as well.
Very much so. And it is odd to think that we did meet 30 years ago, and I hadn't put that together. And that I'm sure you've found that the people you meet tell you the history of their going to the Star Wars films with their parents, whatever, and what's happened in their lives. But, you know, on stage we talked about the crossing of the barrier from the screen across the stage into the audience, that suddenly we have a live experience as opposed to an edited film, which people enjoy. But you and I and the other cast members being here brings a kind of joyous familiarity to the whole thing. They kind of know us, and now they kind of know us a bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's been a pleasure getting to know you. I'm sure everyone out there has enjoyed it as well. Thank you very much, Anthony Daniels. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Warwick.
Now, other characters who had made it to the stage, Mark Hamill is, again, a crowd favorite as he gets on stage and always helps to keep the crowd entertained. Mark Hamill, again, played Luke Skywalker in the Star Wars films. And also Carrie Fisher, who played Princess Leia, also had her time on stage. And Carrie is always very funny as well. And being that Warwick Davis, or who played Wicket the Ewok, was the host of that particular panel. They had some surprises in store for the fans as they kind of recreated some of the story from Return of the Jedi, being it's the 30th anniversary of Return of the Jedi. And so Warwick came out with kind of this little hat on that made him look like Wicket, and he also had his little spear, and Carrie Fisher really got into the moment and laid down on the ground as if she'd just come off the speeder bike. So they kind of had a little reenactment moment all the way to the point where the stormtroopers had been blasting at them and they actually jumped over the couch. So what I'd like to do is play for you kind of the backstage conversation that they had, and actually you'll hear a little bit of that clip during that conversation about them playing that part and recreating that. Of course, the crowd thought it was great and they had a great time doing that. So take a listen to this particular interview backstage with Warwick and Carrie Fisher.
Here I am once again backstage at Celebration Europe, this time with Carrie Fisher. And we've just been on stage together and had a fun time, or from my perspective, it was
I had a horrible time.
Did you? Was it awful?
No, it was great for me.
It was
How
good,
was
wasn't
it for you?
No, it was. Really, yeah.
Are you going to be able to show our little reenactment?
I don't know, maybe. Maybe then clip this into this little interview.
I think that Absolutely. They should.
Hey! I'm not gonna hurt you. I only have clothes to hit you with.
And I thought it was a very accurate reconstruction.
I laid down on the ground.
You did.
I wore the hat. Well, not the hat, but a hat. You wore the ridiculous whatever that
I
was.
I did, and we hid behind the log.
That's
or
right.
The couch, in this case.
That's
it
right. I think we're going to start doing that all over the world. We're going to take it on tour.
We'll tour it, and then we can sell your book off the back of it as well. That'd
we'll make great. Up a song with it and everything.
So we're celebrating the 30th anniversary of Return of the Jedi this year. What are your real thoughts about the gold bikini? Because it is something that's a burning question for many people.
I wish that I could still looked good enough to wear it. And in another sense, I'm glad that I don't have to wear it anymore. It was just, look at it. It's not actual clothing.
No.
I mean, there's nothing on the sides. And I was very happy that when I wore it the day that we worked on the, whatever that, the Sarlacc Sea.
Oh, that, yeah, the Sarlacc pit there, yeah.
Well, I had a double, and she had that on. And I was so happy that someone else,
had to suffer.
That I had a peer that was could wear another cement bathing suit.
Absolutely. Now, what were your thoughts when you first read the script for Return of the Jedi and found out that Luke indeed was your brother?
You know, honestly, I just have the worst memory in the world. But I do remember, however I found out, and I don't think it was in the script. I think I was told voce a voce. So I think I was told, and I remember being suspicious, like, did they think of that now? You know, I got very involved in that. Wait a minute. What about when I kissed him in that room with the medical robot in the water?
Yeah.
You know, so that's what I got involved with.
Not did they know then, sort of thing?
Yeah, why would you have me kiss my brother that way? You know, yeah. So that's how I got involved in it.
Yeah, so that's, and you totally got immersed in those things.
Yeah, thinking back on what it would affect and what it had affected.
And when you finished Return of the Jedi, obviously at that point you'd made 3 Star Wars films. Were you ready to finish, or would you have liked to have gone on?
No, I could, like I was, I could have gone on because it was... It was fun. It was like a crew of people. We'd had this really particular experience. I mean, and I was the only girl in an all-boy fantasy, you know. And so it was a good gig to have. And I was sorry to see it go. The last day when we were shooting up in Endor, which was at Crescent City, the crew was drinking. I woke up with somebody who'd drunk NyQuil and had green lips. So that's... That's how it went out for me.
That was a good rap part in that one, wasn't it? Yeah. And on that bombshell, it's been a pleasure talking to you, Carrie. Ladies and gentlemen, Carrie Fisher, thank you very much.
Thank you, darling.
Another great attraction that took place on stage was the attraction that had all the Boba Fetts with Warwick. And every actor who's ever played Boba Fett on screen, who would be Jeremy Bullock from The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. They had Daniel Logan from Attack of the Clones, and he's also done the voice of Boba Fett in a 3-part Season 2 finale and in Season 4 of Star Wars The Clone Wars television series. He also has Dickie Beer, who was a stunt performer in Return of the Jedi, and John Morton from a Cloud City scene in The Empire Strikes Back. So all these folks have played Boba Fett at one point or other throughout the saga. Also, they had Tamora Morrison, who played Jango Fett with them, all together on stage, and they had some fun as they did some dancing on stage, and wanted to play you a clip where they came back behind the scenes with Warwick and had a chat with him about just being Boba Fett and kind of the meaning of those type of things and kind of what it has meant to them through the years. So let's take a conversation and listen to a conversation with all these gentlemen as they talk about the Fett roles and what it's meant to folks over the years.
If you've got a Boba fetish, then this group of people should satisfy your needs. I'm backstage at Celebration Europe with the five Fets. The Fettastic Five. Here they are.
They're growing.
We have Jeremy Bullock, Daniel Logan, Dickie Beer, John Morton, and Tamora Morrison.
Good work.
Guys, how are you all?
Very well,
thank you.
Quite exhausted, but nice exhausted.
Yes, absolutely. So Boba Fett, one of the most popular characters in the Star Wars galaxy. Why do you think that is? What is the secret of his popularity?
Well, I think the secret is that when you look at the costume, you put that on, you don't have to do anything, really. I mean, who's that? In the first days I had, they say, wow, what's that? And there's so much stuff all over him. There's gadgets and bits and pieces. So kids want to know more about it. So hence the toys that are sold around the world.
So it's about the mystery then.
Behind him, plus the way he is. He just stands, and I remember one day's filming. I stood still all day long, doing absolutely nothing, and he got the odd bit. That was fantastic. What? Lovely, lovely. I didn't move. I just stood there waiting for a break. Really.
So but less is more. Isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Less is more. Mysterious and stillness. Yeah. And I think. We're coming off the end of Jeremy's, you know, he set all that up for us, you know, us new guys. So he kind of, his mysterious, still acting kind of.
Yeah, so what do you like? What do you like to call Jeremy? You've got a name for Jeremy, haven't you?
Well, coming into this, I was 13 years old, so I was more of the baby Fett at the time, you know, and Jeremy, you know, calls me Baby Boba, and I call him Grandpa Fett. It was kind of a running joke, you know, we had since Celebration 2.
Yeah, it was fun, yeah.
We're all family. I mean, we're all family. It's a Fett family, you know, and it really is. So.
Absolutely.
And not forgetting the guys, John and young Dickie here. They've joined
young
in.
Young Dickie.
In the past. No, but I was in the theatre at the time, so I had to dash off to get to a play, and John luckily stood in for me.
In Empire Strikes Back. Yes.
But another thing, going back to what makes him so popular, I think this was a new character. This was Boba Fett. I mean, you have Darth Vader, you have Ewoks and whatnot, but you have this new guy that's got, as he said, all these gadgets, firing passion.
What do you mean Ewoks and whatnot?
Well, Ewoks, I would cuddle with an Ewok.
You would?
But I wouldn't want to cuddle with Boba Fett.
I wouldn't cuddle him because his jetpack might go off.
That's what I'm saying.
That's dangerous. Okay, looking at the costume now, we can see the helmet there that Jeremy's got. You know, this guy's an in-demand bounty hunter. Why did he choose to have an outfit where you can just see through a tiny slit?
Well, I think he can see through beyond that. He'll tell people, I can't see very well, but he's better than that.
Oh, it's a trick?
Yeah, it's a trick, yeah.
So what has he got inside?
Well, he's got some this. Sort of monitors. Do you know what this does?
What does that do, Jeremy?
You pull this down,
yes.
Click, these red lights will flick on and off. I know an awful lot about it, don't I?
Yeah, okay.
And it flicks on and off, and that he can lock onto 30 different spaceships. So there'd be Slave 1, and he also has Slave 2, 3, and 4. So they told me, but you can make it up as well. That's what it is. He's got all the gadgets, everything you want.
But I mean,
so we can sell some here.
A lot of the characters in Star Wars have got these sort of fatal flaws, I like to think. But, you know, the Queen Amidala's security officer, you know, he's got a patch over one eye, you know. If something attacks from this side, he's not going to see it coming. So, Boba Fett, villain or misunderstood?
Misunderstood.
Misunderstood.
Really? So he's not evil?
He's not evil.
No,
he's
no.
Misunderstood. Something's happened between him and Han Solo. They flew the Millennium Falcon, this is what I believe anyway. And something happened. They said, I'll get you, we'll meet again. They were probably friends, but now it's when he says in the Sarlacc pit just before, it's Boba Fett, where? What does that mean? He's seen Boba Fett before. Why does he have to say, Boba Fett, where? So there's a mystery there. There's something's happened between them.
Your thoughts on Celebration Europe? Has it been a good party?
It's been terrific.
It's fantastic, yes.
As always, it's too soon, too late, and oh, it's gone. Goodbye. I'll try and phone. Gone.
It doesn't take long enough.
Finish.
So it's been a pleasure to have you, gentlemen. Thanks for making the trip out here, and hopefully we'll see you at another celebration.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Cheers, Art. Pleasure.
Thank you, Art.
So in Clone Wars news, we had another great panel that took place, and it was called The Secrets of Star Wars, The Clone Wars. And again, Dave Filoni, who was the supervising director, was in charge of that. And he was along with Pablo Hidalgo, who discussed many things about what might have been, including some of the long-awaited bonus content. And we just wanted to bring you some of the highlights again from this particular panel, as folks were looking forward to this, and definitely we were hoping that we would get some of the bonus content information, but really didn't get that. Dave Filoni described a rejected story concept for how the Clone Wars would tie into Revenge of the Sith, but ultimately that was rejected by George Lucas. There was going to be a Yoda and Wookiees arc, and we have heard a little bit about there being a Yoda arc, so I don't know if that will include the Wookiees or if that was just a separate story, but we're supposed to be getting some sort of Yoda arc as we move forward into the bonus content. There was an Asajj Ventress story that was going to get very dramatic, and of course we know that her story has been very interesting, and we've really grown to love Asajj as we've seen her develop through from just being a bad person to having the conflict of being good and wanting to try and figure out her way and not be part of the Sith. Pablo Hidalgo said that elements from the live-action series have been hinted at since Season 2 of The Clone Wars. So we know that in the last season, Season 5, they went down to there was a game and a story tie-in for level 13-13, but I was really surprised to hear him to say that we were getting some clues during all the way back to the point of Season 2. So he also, Pablo stressed that even though we may not see some stories in the Clone Wars episodes, that they may show up in another film. So definitely going to be looking forward to some of those elements. They also provided a look at some concept art of a Sith Temple from the bonus content that we will see. Dave Filoni hints that the Sith Temple is from the Yoda arc, which will be in that bonus content that we mentioned. Former Chancellor Valorum is to make an appearance in our bonus content. Cad Bane's ship is to appear also in the bonus content. And they'll be going to Tatooine, and having Tusken Raiders will be involved. So that's always cool when you start getting Tusken Raiders, or also known as Sand People, on Tatooine. Anytime you make a return to Tatooine, it's really cool. Pablo Hidalgo said that they were still working on how to distribute this bonus content, and it may be outside of the box. It also could include some unfinished animation. So I would really like to see some of that. You know, their quality for the animatics that they use that just kind of give you an idea of what the story is about is definitely good enough. And we know that the actors had voiced all the information or all the dialogue all the way through the completion of Season 6, and that they were actually working on some Season 7 stuff. So even if we don't get the finished story, I would love to see kind of an animatic story that would be they could piece together that would also kind of give us the episode and we could see what was going on for most of the rest of the Season 6 episodes. I would really like to see that in our bonus content. Dave Filoni also stated that Yoda and Anakin have a more personal connection, and if you've seen some of the clips online from that Yoda arc, you'll see that there is kind of that personal connection. He also stated that there is a scene that deals with the repercussions of the end of Season 5, and he is unsure whether or not it will be seen. So I'm wondering if he's talking about the Ahsoka leaving the Jedi Order, or if he had something else in mind, but unfortunately we may not be seeing those things. He also suggested that they wrap up the series during Revenge of the Sith timeline so the audience would see the other characters and what was going on with the film. But of course, I don't think we're going to be able to see that. Dave also stated that there are lots of clone action coming up, but probably not Republic Commandos. There is also going to be two director's cuts up on the Blu-ray, and the big announcement was the fact that we were going to be getting our Blu-ray that was going to be coming out in October. And so let's really quickly play you a little bit of a clip that they introduced from that, and it just gives you kind of the idea of what this will be. So let's play this clip real quickly.
Star Wars, The Clone Wars, the complete season 5, with more than 3 hours of extras. Bring home the action in spectacular HD and surround sound. Also available, the season 1-5 Collector's Edition box set, complete with all 108 episodes from the series. And exclusive to the Collector's Edition, The Art of the Clone Wars book, with never-before-seen concept art and designs from all 5 seasons. On Blu-ray and DVD October 15th.
So there you have it, folks, an official confirmation of the Blu-ray and DVD that will be coming out for the 5th season. And that complete box set of seasons 1-5 on Blu-ray and DVD, and that would be October 15th. So we get to relive all these classic moments and get to sneak peek of some of the exclusive bonus content. Hopefully we'll see something that might be in that particular set. But the set itself will be $150 for the 14-disc Collector's Edition Blu-ray and $120 for the 19-disc DVD box set. So if you're in for the whole season 5 or the 5-season shebang, that's going to set you back about $150 if you're going for the Blu-rays. So we're definitely looking forward to that in October and adding that to our collections, and we hope to get some news soon about the bonus content, and we'll provide you that as soon as possible, either here in the podcast or on Galactic Voyage. So as they started to wind down the Star Wars Celebration Europe 2, the announcement that came out of it was whether or not we were going to have another celebration and when that might be. They did announce that Star Wars Celebration Anaheim, which we would all think would be Star Wars Celebration 7, but they are dropping the Roman numerals. They're just going with the name itself, and that has been confirmed by Lucasfilm, that is now Star Wars Celebration Anaheim. And that one is going to be in Anaheim, California, on April 16th through the 19th, 2015. Tickets will go on sale on August 7th, 2013, at 7 o'clock a.m. Pacific Time. So that is on the west coast of the United States, and that is Pacific Time. So Star Wars Celebration Anaheim, and that's just the way it will go. And we are looking forward to hearing that. Of course, that will be a great ticket because you're talking about all the good stuff right before the release of Star Wars Episode 7. So that will be right before that, and folks will definitely want to get those tickets. The venue, it will not be as large as in Orlando, Florida, so if you want to get tickets to Anaheim, you better get them quickly, because they will go quick. So I would recommend getting those as soon as possible. So Star Wars Celebration Europe 2 came to a close, and we did have a lot of great interviews, not necessarily very much in the way of bonus content information for the Star Wars The Clone Wars seasons. We got as much out of Rebels as we could get, being that they hadn't really gotten any animatics or anything going. But we really didn't get a whole lot of information about Episode 7. The next opportunity for us to start getting some information, Lucasfilm will be part of the Disney's D23 Expo, and they're going to have a panel that will be taking place during that time. It's called Let the Adventures Begin, the live action at Walt Disney Studios. Now, during this particular expo, I don't really necessarily expect that we'll get a whole lot out of that. It will be coming soon. And I think that they probably would have, in my mind, given the information that if there had been any Episode 7 news, it would have come out in Star Wars Celebration Europe 2. I don't necessarily think we're going to get much from the D23 Expo. But if there is any news and information that will come out of that, I will definitely let you know. Now we're going to listen to the story of the Empire Strikes Back LP from 1980, and this will be part 7. When we last left off, Han, Chewie, and Leia were invited by Lando to dinner on Cloud City, and when they arrived to dinner, they noticed that Darth Vader was sitting at the head of the table, and Boba Fett came in to join them. So we now pick up the action with the story, and hope you enjoy it.
Later, under confinement in the living quarters, Chewie tries to reassemble 3PO. He meets with limited success. One part Chewbacca does fix is the deactivation switch.
Yes, that's very good. I like that. Oh! Something's not right, because now I can't see. Oh, that's much better. Wait! Oh my! What have you done? I'm backwards! You stupid furball! You know, a mophead like you would be stupid enough to...
The door opens. Han is shoved in the room by the guards. a victim of Vader's electronic torture. Moments later, Leia is thrust into the room.
Why are they doing this?
Get out of here, Lando.
Shut up and listen. Vader's agreed to turn Leia and Chewie over to me.
Over to you.
Vader wants us all dead.
Now, he doesn't want you at all. He's after somebody called a Skywalker.
Luke.
Lord Vader has set a trap for him.
And we're the bait.
Yeah, well, he's on his way.
Stormtroopers herd the helpless rebel band to a laboratory in another part of the compound. There, the Dark Lord prepares for the arrival of Luke Skywalker.
This facility is crude, but it should be adequate to freeze Skywalker for his journey to the Emperor.
Lord Vader, ship approaching X-Wing class.
Good. Monitor Skywalker and allow him to land.
Lord Vader, we only use this facility for carbon freezing. You put him in there, it might kill him.
I do not want the Emperor's prize damaged. We will test it on Captain Solo. Put him in.
No, stop!
Chewie tries desperately to save his friend.
Yes, stop, please. I'm not ready to die.
Hey, back up to bed. Listen to me, Chewie. There'll be another time. The princess. You have to take care of her. You hear me? Huh?
I love you.
I know.
Begin.
Resigned to his fate, Han steps onto a platform, suspended above the freezing chamber.
What's going on? Turn round! Chewbacca, I can't see!
Grotesque hogmen bind him, then scuttle into position. Han is lowered into the freezing chamber.
They've encased him in carbonite. He should be quite well protected.
Well, Calrissian, did he survive?
Yes, he's alive. And in perfect hibernation.
He's all yours, bounty hunter. Reset the chamber for Skywalker.
Skywalker has just landed, Lord.
Good. See to it that he finds his way in here. Calrissian, take the princess and the Wookiee to my ship.
You said they'd be left in the city under my supervision.
I am altering the deal. Pray I don't alter it any further.
That was the story of the Empire Strikes Back LP from 1980. We hope you enjoyed that story, and stay tuned for our next episode as we will bring you part 8 of that ongoing story. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Today we were talking about Star Wars Celebration Europe 2 in Essen, Germany, and we were so glad to have the opportunity to bring you excerpts from behind the scenes about some of the things that were going on during the panels. There have been lots of great interviews, and we brought you some clips of those folks. And so we hope you've really enjoyed the show today. If you'd like to send us some information, please feel free to do so. You can send us an email at podcast@galactic-voyage.com. You can also find us over on our website, galactic-voyage.com. If you would like to send us any information via Twitter, you can find us at Galactic Voyage. But also remember, we have a new option on the show page, on the Galactic Voyage, Galactic Escape Pod show page, is a SpeakPipe application that you can actually leave a voicemail. And we'd love to have your comments on the show and your thoughts about what you had from Celebration Europe 2 and what you think we might be getting out of Episode 7 or Star Wars Rebels. And we'd love to hear from you so that we can actually put some of that listener feedback on the show. So please send in your voicemail to us, and we will hopefully put that onto the show as soon as possible. So again, my name is Gary Willis. I know it's been a longer show today than normal, but we are glad that we've been able to bring you this coverage. Stay tuned for another great episode of the Galactic Escape Pod. And always remember that
you've taken your first step into a larger world.
Thank you for joining us on the Galactic Escape Pod, the official podcast of galactic-voyage.com. This podcast is for entertainment purposes only and is not endorsed in any way by Lucasfilm Limited. Star Wars, all sounds, characters, and music are the property of Lucasfilm Limited. All rights reserved. All original content in this podcast is the intellectual property of galactic-voyage.com.